Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading again from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 16, and we're going to read two texts today. Text 65 through 67 is what we're going to read. So the first verse I will read you the translation and the purport, and then we'll continue to the next verse. However, we're only going to do the first stanza of that sloka because it's very long, and then we'll read the translation and purport, and then I'll begin my speaking. So the first sloka, Sri Rishi Uvacha Mukto Bhagavata Rajan Krishnindaya Bhuta Karmana Tam Pujayam Maso Mudha Naga Patyacha Sadaram. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, having been released by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, Kaliya joined his wives in worshipping him with great joy and reverence." Purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows on this verse. The word abhuta karmana indicates the Lord's wonderful activities of saving the residents of Vrindavan from Kaliya, saving Kaliya himself from Garuda, and bestowing grace upon both the victims of violence and the committers of that violence. The word Krishnena by Krishna indicates that because Kaliya's wives were great devotees of the Lord and offered him loving affection, Krishna withdrew Karnasanam of the Lord and offered him both Kaliya's offenses against the Lord's devotee Garuda and that against the residents of Vrindavan, who were very dear to him. So we'll read the next one. Well, we'll just read one, the first stanza of this sloka. Daivyam bara surnam mani bhihi paradharya rir api bhut sanha dhavya gandhanu le pasai cha mahatrayat pat mahatrayaut palamalai. Okay, we'll read word for word. Divya, divine. Ambara, with clothing. Shrak, garlands. Mani bihi, and jewels. Para adharyahi, most valuable. appearing also Bhusanahi ornaments, Divya divine, Dhadhya with sense, Anulepihi and ornaments, Cha as well, Mahatya fine, Utpala of lotuses, Malaya with garlands, Pujaitva worshipping, Jagatnatham the Lord of the Universe, Prasadaya satisfying, Garuda Devayam his him whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda. Tadha, then, Prita, feeling happy, Abhyanu Janata, giving permission to leave, Parikrayam, circumambulating, Abhivandha, offering obeisances, Tam, to him, Sa, along with Kalak, along with
closer to the mic.
Okay. Abhivandhya, offering obeisances, Tam, to him, Sa, along with Kalatra, his wives, Sutrit, friends, Putra, and children, Divipam, to the island, Abdehi, in the sea, Jagama, he went. Indeed. Tada eva. At that very moment. Sa amrita. Nectarian. Jala. Her waters. Yamuna. The river Yamuna. Nirvisha. Free from poison. Abhavat. She became Anugratat by the mercy Bhagavata of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krida for pleasure, pastimes, Manasa human-like, Rupinha manifesting a form. Translation. Kaliya worshipped by the Lord of the Universe by offering him fine garments along with necklaces, jewels, and other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents and ointments, and a large garland of lotus flowers. Having thus pleased the Lord, whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda, Kaliya felt satisfied. Receiving the Lord's permission to leave, Kaliya circumambulated him and offered him obeisances. Then, taking his wives, friends, children, he went to his island in the sea. The very moment Kaliya left the Yamuna was immediately restored to her original condition, free from poison and full of nectarian waters. This happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was manifesting a human-like form to enjoy his pastimes. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented extensively on this verse. To explain the words Mani Mi, Kaliya worshipped the Lord with jewels. The Acharya has quoted from the Sri Radha Krishna Ganada Desha Deepika by Rupa Goswami. Kanushtu Bahakayo Manir Ina Pravisyahan Radham Agragram Kaliya Prisyasi Vrinda Has Tarir Atmanopa Harita. The Lord had made himself his Kastiba Jim enter into the serpent's lake and then arranged for it to be presented to himself by the hand of Kaliya's wives. In other words, because Lord Krishna wanted to act just like an ordinary human being, he made the transcendental Kastubachim invisible and caused it to enter within Kaliya's treasury. Then, when the appropriate moment came for Kaliya to worship the Lord with many different jewels and ornaments, the serpent's wives, unaware of the Lord's transcendental trick, presented him with the Kastuba gem, thinking it was simply one of the jewels in their possession. The Acharya has further commented that the reason Lord Krishna, in describing in this verse as Garuda Divasvashta, he whose flag is marked with the symbol of his carrier, Garuda, is that Kaliya also desired to become Lord Krishna's carrier. Garuda and the serpent are originally related as brothers, and therefore Kaliya wanted to indicate to Lord Krishna, if you ever have to go to a destined place, you should also think of me as your personal carrier. I am the servant of your servant, and in a wink of an eye I can travel hundreds and millions of yojanas. Thus, the Puranas narrated that in the course of Lord Krishna's eternal cycle of pastimes, when Kamsa ordered the Lord to come to Mathura, he sometimes goes there mounted upon Kaliya. Yeah. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Sunya Vadi Vaskaji Desatarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we're finishing up this chapter about how Lord Krishna benedicted Kaliya serpent. So in most cases, in other chapters, we read when Krishna had encounters with demons, asuras, he would kill them. Sometimes he would play with them just to tease the residents of Vrindavan that he was in danger. But ultimately, he would slay these different demons. However, in this case, the point that the Acharyas made is that because Kaliya's wife were devotees, Lord Krishna gave him a reprieve from his sinful activities. So we fall into this category because we have a devotee on our side. We have Srila Prabhupada on our side. If we inadvertently commit sinful activities, Krishna will turn a blind eye and he will forgive us for these sinful activities. However, it doesn't mean we can use this as an excuse to continue to commit sinful activities. Once is okay, twice maybe, three times, there's no reprieve. We'll have to suffer for those sinful activities. But let's count ourselves very fortunate that we have the mercy of such a great exalted personality as Srila Prabhupada, who can intervene and persuasively induce Lord Krishna to give us another chance to become spiritually advanced. And we see that Lord Krishna always wears the Kastuba gem around his neck. So if he was wearing this, everybody would know that that's Krishna. But at this point, they didn't know that it was Krishna. So he made the Kastuba gem disappear into the treasury of the Kaliya serpent. And because Lord Krishna had benedicted him, Kaliya was very grateful, and he began to offer everything to Lord Krishna. It says that he gave him ointments. He gave him, in particular, they mentioned lotus flowers, garlands made from lotus flowers, and many gems. So these are things that Krishna likes. Not that he needs them, but he likes to be ornamented with these jewels, garlands, and the scents of fragrant oils. So when Krishna received these gifts, he was very happy that the Kaliya serpent had willingly given up some of his most valuable possessions in order to satisfy the Lord. And it says here, we just read that Garuda and the Kaliya serpent were brothers. So many of us might not have known that. I didn't know it for sure. I'd heard it, but this is the first time to see it in writing. But we know Garuda is the carrier of Lord Krishna. And the Kaliya serpent said, I have the ability to travel hundreds and millions of yojanas in the blink of an eye. And I forget how many miles a yojana is, but it's a big, long distance. So he had this ability to travel. And he said, I will be your carrier. So sometimes when Krishna would go to Mathura, instead of riding on Garuda, he would ride on the Kaliya serpent. So how fortunate he was to be reprieved from his sinful activities, to receive the benediction, to carry out the Lord's desires, to be his carrier, and to have a family of devotees. His wives were all great devotees. So in this way, Krishna, unlike with other demons, gave the benediction that Kaliya would become a great devotee of of the Lord. So we're going to continue reading other pastimes of Krishna in further chapters. However, you may wonder why I brought this deity here today. I'd like to talk a little bit about this Giriraj. Now, all of us, we desire to communicate directly with the Lord. Sometimes as Paramatma, Krishna will give us instructions from within the heart, and it is our obligation to listen carefully to those instructions and to the best of our abilities follow the instructions coming from Paramatma. However, sometimes we're negligent and we might hear instructions coming from Paramatma, but we decide to take another path. We decide to do something different. So I'm not going to go into full details of how this Giriraj Shila came to me, but I'm going to tell you a story how three times Giriraj personally spoke to me, just like I'm speaking to you. He spoke to me in a voice in English that I could understand. So when I first received Giriraj, I was very clumsy. I didn't know how to worship properly. I had very archaic deity paraphernalia, and I had to paint Giriraj's face with tilak on his lips, his eyes, and such as that. And so he looked very clumsy. And he had, for his asana, he had a very cheap brass asana and very cheap store-bought turban. So he wasn't very presentable. But anyway, I began doing worship. I was doing arpti. Might have been the first time, second time, or third time. But anyway, I was doing arpti with the ghee lamp. And I was going around Giriraj trying to do the precise number of circles around his feet, his belly, his neck, and his head, and trying to do things just perfectly. Even though he was very clumsily dressed and wasn't presentable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as I was going around like this, I could tell Giriraj was looking at me. And then he said in a loud voice, "What's that?" And he motioned with his eyes, and I said, "What?" And he says, "What's that?" And again he lifted his eyes, and he was looking at my right hand. So at that time, I had been wearing a ring. I had this very big, big, big gold ring, more than 1 ounce of gold, with a big carnelia stone in it. And he says, "That, what is that?" And he says, "You have that gold, and you have that big gem. Look what I have. I have nothing." So I didn't say anything, but he put a guilt trip on me. And so I felt very bad. And so I went to Lohi Bazaar, and I went to one of the jewelers there, and I gave them the ring and asked them how much money I could get for it. So I got more than 2 lakh rupees for this ring. And with that money, I bought all of the necessary deity paraphernalia, this included. And Instead of buying store-bought turbans, I went to a turban maker. Actually, he makes all deity clothes, but I went to him and I had him make some nice, colorful turbans for Giriraj. And his face was still not up to par. So I bought some in Loi Bazaar. They have eyes you can buy made out of conch shell, and they have lips and tilak also made out of conch shell. So I bought those, and Giriraj, he looked more presentable, but still he wasn't perfect. And so now that he had all of his deity paraphernalia, I felt a bit proud, and I was doing my worship and thinking that I had successfully fulfilled Giriraj's desires. So this went on for some time, and for three different times, not consecutive evenings, but at night in my dreams, Giriraj would speak to me and tell me that he wanted to go to Angkor Wat. So Angkor Wat is in Cambodia, and it's the biggest Hindu temple in the world. He said, I want to go to see Angkor Wat. And so he said this to me in my dream, and I had to contemplate, you know, how much endeavor it would be for me. At that time I was almost completely unable to walk. I was like a cripple, and a ticket to go to Cambodia was very expensive, along with hotels, and then it cost more than $100 to buy a ticket to go into the Wat and to see the thing. So I dismissed these as things that were hindering me from taking Giriraj to Angkor Wat. So one morning after doing my puja, I was sitting in my chair and I was chanting japa, and then suddenly, in a loud voice, Giriraj shouted at me, and he says, you never listen to me. He says, and then I was startled. I said, what? He says, you never listen to me. How many times did I tell you I want to go to Angkor Wat? And again, I didn't respond in any way. I thought about it, and I decided that I will take Giriraj to Cambodia to see Angkor Wat. And he said, I know where Krishna is. So in Cambodia, the big temple, but they don't have a deity of Vishnu there. And so Giriraj says, I know where he's at. So I had to go into debt in order to buy a ticket to get to Cambodia, and to rent a hotel room, and then buy a ticket, which was a three-day ticket to walk around the compound of Angkor Wat, which is very, very, very big. And so I took Giriraj. I have a little carry box that I put Giriraj in, and I tried walking around the compound of Angkor Wat, which is very, 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 very big, and I could barely walk. And so I'd hold this in one hand and hobble with my cane around, trying to show Giriraj everywhere. But this compound had renovation going on. It was very big, and many places were impassable for me because I couldn't climb the stairs, and I could barely even walk and carry Giriraj and walk with my cane at the same time. So unfortunately, we didn't find a hidden chamber where Vishnu was, but Giriraj took me around the compound, not the complete compound because I couldn't walk that much, and then we went and we found discarded on the side of the ruins of the temple one big stone that had a carving of Lord Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot and Arjuna standing in front and he was firing arrows at the enemy. So in this way we found Krishna, but we didn't find the deity that is still to this day hidden. So maybe in the future I will go back and try again as my health becomes better. So when we got back here to Vrindavan, I continued to do my puja to Giriraj, and things seemed to be going nicely. My turban maker, before every turban that he made, it wouldn't fit properly. So I'd always have to take it back and he'd have to make a cut in the back and add some additional cloth, or it would be too big, he'd have to add some on the side. And so I was never satisfied with his turbans that he had been making. And because I knew Giriraj, he wanted perfection. And so I told him that he had to become more adept at making turbans because Giriraj is not happy. So he became more and more attached to Giriraj, and he made a special mold for Giriraj's head so that whatever turban he made, it would fit Giriraj perfectly. So this continued. He started getting nice turbans. Giriraj seemed to be happy, and I was happy because it was my obligation to do service as nicely as possible to Giriraj. But this is the last time that Giriraj spoke to me. I had just finished doing the puja. I was sitting in my chair chanting japa, and suddenly Giriraj says, "What's my name?" And I was surprised. I said, "What?" He said, "What's my name?" And he said, "Your name is Giriraj." He says, "That's right. What does it mean?" He says, it means king of Govardhan." He says, "Yes, it means king of Govardhan. And what do kings always wear?" "Kings always wear a crown." And up to this point, Giriraj only had turbans that I had made. He says, "If I am a king, I want people to distinguish me from ordinary people. So therefore, now I want a crown." And so I knew that a crown would be more difficult and more expensive to make. I've always been restrained because of budget, but I explained this to my turban maker and he made one nice crown. Now, we also know that from this story, Kaliya Serpent gave Krishna many jewels. So my Giriraj didn't have many jewels. In fact, he only had some pearls. But somehow or other, he arranged for me to get many, many nice gemstones, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, aquamarine. So now he has hundreds of beautiful stones which I can use to decorate his body. And slowly I started making more and more crowns for Giriraj. And at one point, you know, I would be surfing the internet looking for crowns, and I came upon this crown. This is the royal crown of Russia. However, instead of this here, which is at the top of chakra, they have a cross. But when I was looking at that, Giriraj says, "I like that." And I was thinking, how can I make it? Because it's made of diamonds. So I couldn't afford even one diamond. But there's a stone called Zikron. And it comes in like diamonds. It comes red. It comes green. It comes blue. Different colors, and it's relatively cheap compared to real diamonds. So I started collecting these stones, and when I had enough, I showed him this crown, my jewelry maker, and I told him, "I want you to make this." And so he was a bit bewildered, because nobody in India or any of his customers had ever given him such a difficult project to make such a crown as this. So he took several weeks thinking about it and drawing different pictures and formulating in his mind how he would make this. And in that term, I had to collect all the diamonds necessary to make this crown. Of course, I couldn't get real diamonds, so I bought Zikron stones. And in this crown, there's more than 450 carats of Zikron stones. And so, if you see this and you see the original one, which is in Russia, you cannot tell the difference. But I think mine is more beautiful because it's on Giriraj instead of some useless royal person who was actually in killed by the people of Russia. So now he has this crown. He has many other crowns. He has a crown from England, and he has a crown from Thailand, like the royal crown of Thailand, the royal crown of England. And because I have so many stones, I can decorate the entire crown with beautiful, nice stones. However, this one, only diamonds and one amethyst, which is in the middle of the chakra. So I made that for him, and up to this point he seems to be satisfied. However, I know that this won't be enough, because he's a very demanding boy. He's always making me expand my service. So when Giriraj first came to me, I had been very sick, and I had gone to the Bhaktivedanta hospital, and my body had become paralyzed, and I couldn't move. And I didn't know what to do. So the doctors had no idea of my disease. They did many tests and experiments, and after more than 1 month of all of these tests, they discovered the type of illness that I was afflicted with. And fortunately, there is medicine that you can take. And so I began taking that medicine, and slowly I had some mobility in my legs. I was able to walk, and here in Vrindavan, there's a Nimbarka Sampradaya ashram, and they have a small Giriraj Shila that they have been worshipping for 1200 years. And so they invited me to come for lunch prasadam. And so I told them, I will come, but I want to make some prasadam for your Giriraj. So they agreed to this, and I went home and I made the most delicious sweet rice you could imagine. And putting into the making of the sweet rice, I put all of my love and my devotion into this sweet rice. And so when we began to eat, the pujari, he was serving everybody the sweet rice, but he didn't eat any. And so I thought, he didn't want to eat the sweet rice because I'm a malecha, and he doesn't want me, you know, to eat food cooked by a malecha. But he went in eventually and took a bowl of sweet rice. He came out and ate that sweet rice, and then he went back again and got another bowl, and came back and ate that bowl, and then he went back for a third time. And so he ate three bowls of sweet rice. And that night in his dream, his Giriraj came to him and he said that Gopal is my bhakta, and I like his sweet rice very much, so now I want to live in his house. And so this pujari, his name is Kishori, he went to Biharilal, some of you may know him, and told him the story, and he and Biharilal went to Govardhan and they got a shila for me. And so they came and they told me this story, and I told them, I can't worship Giriraj because I'm too sick, I'm too weak. And so they took the shila back to the ashram. And then after some time I was walking here, my health had began deteriorating, and standing in front of Krishna Balaram, I fell on the ground and couldn't move. And my body began getting more and more paralyzed, starting from my feet, legs, and my hands and my arms, until eventually I couldn't move at all. And so Panchakota Prabhu put me on an airplane, and I went to Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Bombay, and they had never seen this type of disease before, because maybe one person in 500,000 people will get sick like this. And so when they finally discovered what it was, fortunately there was a remedy for it, and they began administering that remedy. But here in Vrindavan, Giriraj in the Nimbarka Sampradaya ashram came again to the pujari in his dream, and he said, Gopal is coming back to Vrindavan, and when he gets here, you tell him that I made him sick because he won't let me live in his house. He said, you tell him he needs me to take care of him. And so when they told me this story, I had no other choice. I took Giriraj into my house, and this is where the story of Giriraj living with me begins. How much trouble it was to get things up to standard, to satisfy him. And so all of us want to satisfy the Lord. This should be our main objective in life, is to satisfy Krishna. And we want to hear Krishna. We want to come before the deities here, Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shama Sundar, Lalita and Vishaka. And we want tears to come from our eyes, because we have so much affection. Krishna has made himself available to us. He is here right now, and he is watching each of us, watch every one of us. But in this room, there is a fog surrounding all of our heads. And what is this fog? This fog is all of our anarthas. And these anarthas, they are obstructing our vision, our ability to hear and to see Krishna as he is. So therefore we have to, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, give up all varieties of religiosity such as this. And he told Arjuna, in order to see me, you need divine eyes. So most people couldn't see Krishna, but Krishna gave Arjuna divine eyes in order for him to be able to see Krishna, see the universal form of Lord Krishna. So if we want to see Krishna, we have to get rid of all of our anarthas. Swish them away to right now. And leave them on the floor, and the cleaners will sweep them out the door. And your eyes will be cleansed. And what do they become anointed with? What is it called? The salve of love. So our eyes will become anointed with this salve of love. And we will see Krishna. Any questions? My blessings are useless, because I am amongst all the devotees the most fallen.
Krishna Balaram, but Prabhupada. give everyday milk and dahi, and you know, tulsi flower, he's very happy. If you can't prepare our dachas, just give him dahi and milk, he's very happy. And I have a lot of brats at Bajwasi Kemi from Nandagaon, Prasada. So every time I have to brats on him. And you know, this wonderful flower I have, I think. Krishna's very, very merciful, and Prabhupada is so merciful to fallen people like me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much.